Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. A few days ago, you heard in the news, the U.S. Supreme Court acting to bust Nevada's monopoly on legal sports betting. It's a ruling that allows now more states to get into the action and reap the tax benefits. And we want to talk about that this hour, what this may mean for Iowa from a variety of perspectives. Mike Kloss will be with us a little bit later, sports columnist with the Gazette. Also, State Representative Jake Heifel from Johnston and Wes Ericke, President and CEO of the Iowa Gaming Association. We'd like to have you join our conversation as well. Do you gamble on sports? Do you think this change will allow that allows sports betting in all 50 states is a good thing for sports, for our society? What are your concerns? What are your questions? 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100, or email us river2river@iowapublicradio.org. Joining us, first of all, Keith Miller is with us. He's a professor of law at Drake University in Des Moines. Hello, Keith. Keith, are you there? Okay, Keith, not there. Let's try to go to Mike Kloss with the Gazette. Mike, are you there? Mike?
Yes.
Okay, this is Mike, right? And is Keith on the line? Just trying to check, see if Keith is there yet.
I am here, Ben.
Okay, Keith, we'll go to you first. Hold on, Mike. Sorry for the little hiccup there. But Keith, a professor of law at Drake University, tell us a little bit more about this decision and the history of this law, peculiar law that allowed really only Nevada to get in on legalized sports betting. It was struck down.
Certainly. The problem really goes back to the 1990s. A number of people in Congress wanted to pass a federal law that prohibited sports betting in the U.S., and those efforts were led by New Jersey Senator Bill Bradley. But Bradley couldn't get the votes he needed to pass that federal law that prohibited sports betting. So instead, in 1992, Congress passed a law that told the states that they couldn't pass laws that authorized sports betting. And Nevada at that time, as you say, was the only state that allowed sports betting, and the law allowed Nevada to continue to offer sports betting. So that was the law, the Professional and Amateur Sports Protection Act, that the court ruled on. New Jersey challenged that law because it didn't like that they weren't able to offer sports betting, and I think the court's decision really can be summarized fairly briefly. The court said to Congress, you may have the power to regulate or prohibit sports betting as long as you do it directly. But what you can't do to accomplish this prohibition is to tell the states that they can't pass laws allowing sports betting. And the reason for this is our Constitution doesn't permit Congress to tell states what or how to legislate. And the term we use for that is saying that Congress had commandeered the states. So ultimately, Congress can regulate or prohibit sports betting directly, but if it doesn't do that, each state is free to act on its own.
Mm-hmm. 1992, this act, why did it take so long until 2018?
Well, that's a question that many people had in mind, why it hadn't been challenged. Perhaps a lot of states thought that it just wasn't worth the effort, but I think a lot of it was because sports betting has grown in popularity and visibility around the United States in the past 10 or 15 years with the internet and with mobile applications being available for sports betting. I think it really is just recently that states looked at it and said, this is something we want to participate in.
Mm-hmm. So what do you see as the biggest implications for sports at all levels, Keith, opening this up? Because, as you just mentioned, it's a blossoming, burgeoning area. I guess one question would be, you know, is this just legalizing what's already going on, or are we really going to have a massive expansion here?
Well, I think that clearly this has given the states the opportunity to step in and offer sports betting if they want to. But I also think that there's no question that illegal sports betting is not going to go away. What we call the neighborhood bookies and the offshore sportsbook operators are still going to be very popular. Bookies are popular because they operate on credit, typically with no money required up front. Offshore sports books offer anonymity. They don't report how much a bettor wins. They don't report any information to the United States government. So those sources, those outlets are still going to be available to sports bettors. And what states will need to do if they want to offer sports betting themselves is they will need to compete with those illegal forms of sports betting.
Mm-hmm. What does this do to the question of corruption?
This is one of those questions where you get people differing quite a bit. I think it's quite evident that the more legal sports betting you have, the more scrutiny there will be given to the possible corruption of contests and match fixing. And I don't think that legalizing sports betting is going to increase that problem. But I think it's naive to think that that problem is going to go away. There will still need to be significant efforts and a lot of money invested in states to try to make sure that these games are neither corrupted nor have the appearance of being corrupted, because a lot of the polling that's been done, Seton Hall University has done a lot of polling on sports betting, and they find that while people across the country favor sports betting, they also find some rather alarming statistics that about half the people in the country think that legal sports betting will negatively affect the integrity of games. And I think that states are going to have to be very proactive in trying to prevent sports games from being corrupted or having any appearance of that.
Mm-hmm. Keith Miller is with us, professor of law at Drake University. We're talking about sports betting and how it may be coming soon to a state near you, in fact, to Iowa. We'll check in with a state representative a little bit later to see the status of legislation in our legislature. Mike Loss is with us, first of all, sports columnist with the Gazette. Hi, Mike.
How are you?
I'm fine. So your reaction to the ruling, was this a surprise at all?
No, it seems like it was something that was on the way. In fact, several states have already, you know, put measures in place to be ready for that decision, and those will, I think there'll be about a half dozen states that jump on this pretty quickly.
So Iowa one of those?
No, I don't think so. I think it'll come here, but I think it'll be, I'm not a good person to judge when, but I think it's a ways off. But I think it'll be one of those things that's inevitable, because Iowa will see that it's happening other places and that there's, you know, a cash source to be opened, and like casino gambling before it years ago and lotteries, etc. I don't think Iowa is going to close itself off to that revenue possibility, such as it may be.
What do you see the changes this making in sports fandom or sports viewership participation?
Well, I don't know. I guess I'm against the grain on this. I keep reading and hearing that this is going to really increase a thirst for people to watch sports on television and read about it and, you know, hear about it on radio and podcasts. And it's like, this has been with us forever. The professor laid it out pretty well, I think, that anybody who wants to make a bet on a game can do it and has been doing it. And, it's, you know, okay, if you're in a casino and it has a sports book, okay, but are people going to get in a car, for instance, and drive 45 minutes to bet $20 on a game? I don't see it. You know, I just don't know how much impact this is really going to have in certain places. And I think Iowa's a place where the impact might actually be really overrated.
And you see this happening at all levels, Mike, from, I suppose, even down to the high school level, college, professional?
Well, you'd have to have college in the state of Iowa, because for one thing, people want to bet on their favorite teams. People who gamble on sports casually, and that's most people who do it, certainly not all, but most, have rooting interests. For instance, in Las Vegas, right now, they're taking a lot of action. Okay, so that's a sports betting term, but they're taking a lot of bets on the Las Vegas hockey team, which is in the Stanley Cup Finals right now. Oh, you know, it's local people who are basically supporting their local team by putting bets on them. And if you're going to have sports betting in the state of Iowa, if you're not going to take bets on the in-state teams, it's almost a matter of why even do it.
Mm-hmm. Mike Loss with us of the Gazette, Keith Miller, professor of law at Drake University, exploring sports betting, standing at the doorway to a new era in sports betting across the country. We'll see how Iowa jumps into this action. Wes Erick, he is with us. He's the president and CEO of the Iowa Gaming Association in our Des Moines studio. Wes, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Okay, so sort of some questions there about what is the way forward? Is there any... what is your feeling on when Iowa will count as one of the states getting into this legalized betting on sports?
Well, we had a bill that was introduced in this last legislative session, and without the certainty of the Supreme Court ruling, it was difficult to get that passed. But a lot of awareness was raised about this, about the legislation, and to have it go through the casinos, who have had a lot of expertise with gaming for the last 2.5 decades, regulated by a Racing and Gaming Commission, which has a tremendous amount of respect and integrity to regulate, to appropriately set the standards and the rules. To have it, you have to come into a casino to register, to establish an account, to prove you're 21. But there would be a mobile component of this as well, so that you don't have to necessarily drive 20 miles just to place a bet once you've established an account. I'm hopeful that this will have a very strong consideration in the next legislative session, which begins January 2019. I think there's a lot of awareness on both the House and the Senate, both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat. This will be a bipartisan issue, and very optimistic that we can get a bill to legalize sports betting adopted next year.
State Representative Jake Highfield with us as well, a Republican from Johnston, in the studio with Wes Erickey. Hello, Representative Highfield.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Yeah, tell us. So this was a bill that you were behind, proposed a bill in the last session, didn't quite make it. We had in the meantime this U.S. Supreme Court ruling. So what are you seeing in the next session? Will this be a shoe-in to have Iowa get in the action?
I really wish that Supreme Court case would have came back just a couple weeks earlier. We had a great shot at getting it done last year. I do believe next year's a great shot to get it done. I'm very optimistic. I have spent way too much time on the phone doing interviews and also speaking to my colleagues from around the state. I have numerous colleagues from both sides of the aisle I have spoken to over the last couple of weeks about this issue. I am working with the minority party on both sides of the aisle, or both sides of the chamber, excuse me, Senate and House, and we are working to find a compromise and have a bill ready to go for next year. Mm-hmm. I believe it's going to pass next year, and like Wes said, one big thing about my bill is the mobile play, because I also believe if you want to fix the inherent problem, which is the black market, you have to make it easy and convenient for people to show up. There's no reason to do it if you don't think it's easy and convenient, because people are not going to change their behavior unless it's easy for them to change their behavior.
Mm-hmm. So describe a little bit about how the mobile unit would work. In what cases? Give me an example.
So when you go to a casino, the way my bill is currently written, you must verify that you're 21, must verify that you're not a problem gambler, must verify that you're not backing your taxes and you're not using credit. So once you use all those concerns and you meet those concerns, you are verified now. You're over 21, the whole nine yards. You can use a mobile app that's ran through our casinos. We have 19 land-based casinos in the state of Iowa, and we're going to allow them to be able to use their resources to make an app, make the best app available, and people can compete for that dollar. So, but once you get that, you know, verification, you can use that app. So I think that's the future of it, because as we talked about earlier, you have two ways to do it now currently legally. You can either go through your online bookie, or you can go through the local tavern, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm. Why do casinos have to be a part of this?
The reason I think casinos are so important to this is we already have a great infrastructure in place for Iowa. We have 90 casinos. We have a Racing and Gaming Commission that does a great job of regulating casinos, does a great job of trying to make it as upstanding as you possibly can. And I think with that infrastructure already in place, it really makes it easy for us to transition right into this.
Mm-hmm. Mike Halas, do you feel the same way, that going through the casinos already established in this infrastructure in the state makes sense, or could you see it a different way?
Well, first of all, the information about the mobile apps, that's vital. I mean, without that, there's no point in any of this. And so what the previous two gentlemen said, that's absolutely right. If people can't do it from their home or, you know, from their phone, it's not going to fly. I'm not sure I want to air my views about who I think should have access to this.
Mike, you're a columnist. Yeah. You're a columnist. You air your views all the time.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? There are areas where I don't have great understandings, too.
Okay.
For instance, why this would be limited to casinos and say not the 84 counties that don't have casinos. I don't know. I guess with the app, it wouldn't matter. But you go to a country like England, for instance, or Ireland, and they have betting shops all over the country where that makes it pretty easy for people too, especially the older generation who maybe isn't particularly digitally savvy. But would that be practical at all in a state like Iowa, or even in any state that doesn't have, you know, a lot of major urban centers? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Representative Highfield, do you want to jump in on that point of, again,
I'm always willing to share my opinion.
Sure. Is this Representative Highfield?
Yes, it is. I'm always willing to share my opinion as a joke. But first of all, comparing the country of England or United Kingdom, when I'm not sure how big it is, but I promise you, Iowa is a pretty big landmass. There's a lot more people condensed, a lot more people there. The entire European Union is about one-third the size, I believe it is, of the United States. Double-check that, but it's not a very big continent or country to begin with. The Internet makes everybody on top of each other. We can be across the world momentarily as we talk right now. We have people in Iowa City. We have people down at Drake University. I'm down at the studio. So this makes it easy. This makes everything very easy. In my opinion, the mobile app is, like I've told you before, is my key component. It makes our infrastructure in place to regulate it a lot easier. And there's a lot of things like you talked about that casinos already do that are very heavily regulated. For example, they pay for their own enforcement. They pay for fines. They do all these things that we will try to make it best upstanding we can. Another big problem is we have a problem. Say you have a bet you think you won. Well, what happens if you don't get paid out? This makes it better. This makes it, we have a system in place to make it fair for the better and for the casino. And I think that's the way to go. As of right now, it's the way the bill's written, but I'm always open and have conversations. But there's some things in that bill that I have written in there that are deal breakers for me, and the mobile play is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Points that you're sort of on the phone talking with other state representatives about, Representative Highfield, what are the points of contention you feel you have to defend the most?
Well, I'll tell you, the first one is education. Personally, I don't gamble. I don't have any reason to gamble. I am a team guy, and I do this because it's a fun issue to work on and because I've been doing it for 6 years now. And I really enjoy, kind of learning the process. First thing is the education of this process, how much is actually happening. You have studies anywhere from $150 million to $225 billion illegal market. When people hear that for the first time, they go, wow. Well, they put it into perspective of the state of Iowa's budget's a little over $7 billion. Well, that's a huge number of what's happening against the law in this country every single day.
Mm-hmm. And so, say that number again. What is the range?
First of all, anywhere between $150 to about $225. Ernst & Young.
Billion.
Yeah, billion with a B. Ernst & Young had $200 billion. ESPN had $175 on TV a couple days ago. And I did see another one with like $210. So I've seen anywhere from those are the ranges I've seen. I've read numerous studies. I've had studies sent to me by both Professor Miller and Wes Ehrke over here. And I've read them, and that's kind of the range. But again, it's almost impossible to tell what's going on out there. So when I tell people that, and then I go, okay, well, we can get our heads out of the sand and make sure this is the best we can do above ground and the money we can bring to the state of Iowa and tax and regulate it. They understand that. And most people think, well, you'd be surprised. Some people that are maybe not tax heavy, they know their local bookie. They know their local place to bet. So this is something that's huge. And I will tell you, the people that do sports wagering right now, they do a lot of it. That's just a moderate better here and there. That they're in my district. They're all over. They catch you at the grocery store. They catch you at the gas station. They catch you at the gym. And I will tell you, it is a lot bigger than I had any idea.
Mm-hmm. Representative Highfield, isn't there any pushback? People saying this is not a good move for Iowa that you're running into?
I'm sure there is.
You're hearing from them?
Not really. I had one gentleman who I know said he doesn't like it. I said, I'm sorry, we can't agree on every issue. But that was the first one I've had in 6 years. So, mm-hmm. from my district, personally. I'm sure there's somebody out there in other districts that have not contacted me. They don't like it. But, again, I still think people understand that gambling is not going to go away, and people are becoming used to it in the state of Iowa. Maybe 20 years ago, gambling was a big, more controversial issue at the Capitol. But I would say modern day is a lot different.
Mm-hmm. We have a couple minutes before we take a break. Keith Miller, you were mentioned there as being behind some studies here. What can you share there that we haven't heard yet about, I guess, illegal gambling and how this may affect it?
Well, I think that it is clear, as Representative Heifel said, that we're dealing with estimates because illegal sportsbook operators and bookies aren't exactly reliable when we ask them how much money is being bet with them. So they are estimates. And I think if we do look at an estimate of something like $150 billion, that one of the most important things we have to recognize is that's how much money is bet. But sports books are not high-margin operations. They operate at a very low profit margin, typically around 5% of the total amount of money bet. And one thing I know that Wes Ehrke and Representative Heifel have both done with their legislation is to keep expectations realistic about how much money the state would get from this. This is unlikely to be a budgetary game changer for Iowa or for any other state because it is a very low margin business, and what you are taxing is the amount of money the sports books win, how much they retain, not how much money is bet.
Okay, we'll pick that point up when we come back. Keith Miller of Drake University, Representative Jake Heifel, also Wes Ehrke of the Iowa Gaming Association, and Mike Loss, sports columnist with the Gazette. We'll talk about whether this will indeed expand revenue for the state. Of course, over the last few years, the state has become quite dependent on gambling revenue for a variety of programs. We'll also ask how much of this revenue will go to help gambling addictions. Is this move likely to increase gambling addiction? Join our conversation as we talk about sports betting. 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Back in just a moment.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
We're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Tomorrow on this program, it's less than a week before that June 5th Democratic gubernatorial primary contest to decide who will face Republican Kim Reynolds in the November general election. We'll talk about that tomorrow with political scientists Chris Larimer of the University of Northern Iowa and Wayne Moyer of Grinnell College. Also, we'll go international. Russia warning of more U.S. troops in Poland. Also, of course, the latest on that North Korean summit tomorrow, Politics Wednesday. Today, we're talking about the decision not too long ago by the Supreme Court, meaning that now all states can legalize, tax, regulate betting on sports. We're sort of thinking ahead what that may be meaning for Iowa. Currently, Iowa has no law to allow that. Our legislature is just out of session, and we have Representative Jake Heifel, who wrote a bill that tried to do that the last session, did not succeed in getting through. Of course, it would have helped if the Supreme Court decision had been made a little earlier, as he pointed out earlier in the program. Keith Miller is with us as well, professor of law at Drake University, Wes Ehrke of the Iowa Gaming Association. He's president and CEO. Mike Loss is a sports columnist with the Gazette. Join our conversation. Do you gamble on sports? What do you think of this change and the change here in Iowa? Do you have big concerns? 1-866-780-9100. 1-866-780-9100. Wes Ehrke, let me go to you. Picking up with the question of revenue, do you suspect, predict that this will increase gambling revenue that the state picks up?
It'll be nominal to begin with, Ben. It's very hard to predict, as we talked about earlier, with the large amount of illegal activity. And certainly the tax rate is going to be very important. As Keith Miller pointed out earlier, you know, like 95% goes back to the bettors, approximately 5% the hold, which has a 0.25% federal excise tax, and then a tax rate that has to be competitive to with the illegal markets, as well as the tribal casinos that would also be allowed to have this if it were to be legalized. So the projections, I think, should be tampened down, but where there will be revenue is for those who do come to the casinos to enjoy having food and libations while they're perhaps watching a game, then go over to the casino where they're perhaps participate with table games or the slot machines, that maybe those are folks that haven't necessarily come to the casinos because they enjoy watching sports and betting on sports. There could be an added revenue then with that. So while the projections, this is not going to be a very high profit margin by any means for the casinos, and not going to be a lot of revenue to begin with for the state, because we just don't know how many people are going to convert in the first year or two. But I think once they do see how well it's regulated, the integrity of this with the Racing Gaming Commission, with our casinos, then more people will be more apt to do it, assured that they're going to get paid, as Jake pointed out earlier, and all the things that go with that. So, again, difficult to predict, but we do believe that this is the right direction to go to get it established.
Representative Highfield, do you believe that it's all a matter, Wes Ehrke used the word convert there a moment ago, a matter of converting illegal gamblers to legal gamblers under a future Iowa structure, or is this actually creating gamblers on sports as well?
I a little bit of both, but I will tell you the majority of the people is, who is going to change their behavior? If you look at all the studies that I've read, they all say in the first year the revenue is going to be worse and it will get better in the future. Not because of new gamblers, maybe a little bit of that is, but mostly because what's it going to take for you to change your behavior? And during my deep analysis of this, I called a district attorney here in the state of Iowa, and I called the former district attorney, who's a friend of mine, and they both said they have not busted anybody in the state of Iowa for illegal sports betting in, like, I believe 32 years was the number. It's hard to change behavior if no one's getting in trouble for it. It's considered a white-collar crime. As you guys know, people are busy with very serious crime, you know, human trafficking, all that fun stuff, the horrible stuff that happens in our state. But this is not in the radar nearly as much. So that is another way. Well, how are you going to change behavior if that doesn't happen? So we need to make it easy, now accessible, and realize, hey, this is in Iowa. The money will stay in Iowa, instead of go offshore to a different bookie. That's one of the big reasons. Will there be some weekend warriors out there? I'm sure there will be. I'm sure there'll be, a couple of my friends or buddies who go out there and we do a couple hundred bucks here and there, but we're not serious sports bettors or that kind of, that route. But my prediction is there'll be a majority of them will people that are already doing it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Join our conversation. We talk about the future of sports betting in Iowa and across the country following a U.S. Supreme Court decision just a few days ago. 1-866-780-9100. Do you gamble on sports? Is this exciting to you to have it legal in all states, or doesn't it really matter? Because as was just pointed out, people are going to do it anyway, it seems. 1-866-780-9100. Christopher is with us in Urbandale. Hi, Christopher. What's your angle on this discussion?
First, let me say it's an honor and a privilege to both have studied under Keith Miller and be on the same call with him, so I appreciate that. But I would like to add that, bringing light to an activity that is already occurring, allowing for additional revenues to flow into the state, I don't think increases the risk of activity as the activity is already occurring and has become socially acceptable. So I'd say this is a great step forward.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you have any concerns, Christopher?
You know, no, it sounds like, Highfield's done a great job of drafting a bill. It's well-studied, and it's an activity that's already occurring. So I would say, it's got my full support, and after this recent Supreme Court case, should do well in both chambers.
Mm-hmm. And Christopher, you bet on sports now?
No, you know, I'm not a sports bettor myself.
Will you become one?
Well, there's certainly more convenience with the future mobile app, certainly.
Okay.
But likely I will not.
Okay. Thank you, Christopher, joining us from Urbandale, 1-866-780-9100. Let's talk a little bit about the issue of problem gambling. Jake Heifel, what did you foresee in your bill there? Because we do have with our casinos and so forth, we have a certain percentage of the revenue that does address this problem.
Correct. The casinos and the tax revenue, the first part of their tax revenue goes to the general fund of Iowa, first $100 million. And the rest of it either has a few things it does. It either goes to the RIF fund, which is the Rebuild Iowa Infrastructure Fund, that is designed for all vertical infrastructure. And but besides that, they also pay for state troopers to guard the casinos, but also pays for 1-800-BETS-OFF and other treatment programs that we do under the state law. I don't have those numbers at the top of my head, how much that costs every year. Maybe Wes will. But also say, yes, that's something we're considering. That's why we believe it's better to have it above market instead of in the black market. Mm-hmm. For example, if you, like Professor Miller talked about, the black market, you can take credit. You can take, oh, I'm going to bet my car. I'm going to bet my, spot me $5,000 this week? You can't do that in Iowa's casinos. We are a cash-only business. It's either cash only or you don't get to play. And so there's no credit. You're not going into debt to play. And that's a big difference. You don't owe money to a bookie. You don't owe anything else. So that's one of those regulations that we believe will help out the problem gamblers.
Mm-hmm. Wes Ericke, anything to add to that on the issue of problem gamblers?
Yeah, there's been many studies done over the last decade plus that really indicate that about 1% to 2% of people experience compulsive behavior. And while it's unfortunate that people are prone to compulsive behavior, whether it's compulsive eating, shopping, use of credit cards, alcohol, substance abuse, or even like in this case, gambling. But we do have programs in place. We're very proactive with our responsible gaming initiatives. Jake mentioned the 800-BETS-OFF helpline, also a voluntary self-exclusion program. So there's several things that we try to do to help people help themselves. Every ad that the casinos have, they mention the 800-BETS-OFF tagline, to bet with your head, not over it, to bet responsibly. And again, so while, well over 98% of the people can go to a casino for the fun and entertainment it's intended to be, for those that are experiencing problems, we want to find them the necessary help, and there is that funding for that. And we believe that with the addition of the sports betting and legalizing that, there's could be some people that are prone to that right now that we may don't know about, but once they can be aware of this and even perhaps listen to this show, to get the help, to call up to a certified gambling treatment counselor and get the necessary help if need be. But for the most part, we believe that that this will be not unlike the current gaming activities and amenities that are provided for the vast majority of people will be able to do it responsibly.
Talking about the future of sports betting in Iowa with Wes Ericke of the Iowa Gaming Association, Representative Jake Heifel, Republican from Johnston. Keith Miller is a professor of law at Drake University. Mike Loss is a sports columnist with the Gazette. Mike, I think you've been reporting on an aspect we haven't touched on here, the NCAA and this issue of paying players. Now, if we throw money into this in a legalized way, betting on college teams, what are the questions this raises in your mind?
Well, I think that it is just one more illustration that at the major college sports level, there's some hypocrisy there. I mean, the athletes obviously are more than student athletes. They're the entertainers. They're the people who make these games possible that the networks derive so much revenue from, and the conferences and athletic departments and television networks, you name it. So I think it would just be one more piece in an argument for giving the scholarship athletes of revenue sports more of a piece of a pie than they're getting right now, which is very unpopular with a lot of people to hear, but I think the day's coming. They're going to get a little more and a little more and a little more. I'm real interested in the tone of this show. I thought that there would be more of a balance, but to me, this show, and I'm not coming on one side or the other, but I thought that there might be more. This sounds like more of an advertisement for legalized sports betting in the state, and I'm not moralizing on this because it's not going to affect my life one way or the other, as far as I know.
What reservations, Mike, do you see that aren't being addressed as you'd wish?
Well, whether I'm right or wrong about this, I don't know. But it seems to me that with the app, the instant ability to bet would make for more problem gamblers. Having it with you 24/7, basically. I'm just curious about that. Now, can I say with any certainty that it would? No, of course not. But
let's go.
It's a whole different. You're talking about a whole different animal here. It is not brick and mortar, and we don't know how this is going to change things.
Professor Keith Miller, do you have anything to add to that? The concerns there, but makes sense. You make it easier. You put it on an app, and people are more likely to do it. They don't have to travel anywhere.
I think one of the biggest issues will be that in sports betting, we know that there is a younger demographic that is attracted to sports betting, and that will be an item that needs to be given a lot of focus. And I think one particular problem that the Racing and Gaming Commission would have to deal with is what types of bets they will allow. We think about sports betting oftentimes in very simple terms of betting on a team or betting on a point spread, but the future of sports betting really is what is called in-game betting. There could be bets, and in Nevada there are bets now on things like will the next batter in a baseball game strike out? Will the next free throw that is shot be converted or missed? And I think that type of betting, that in-game betting, has a couple of problems. One, or a couple of issues that the commission would be need to be attentive to. One is that it does make it a lot easier for people to bet impulsively and more quickly. And secondly, the integrity issues are greater there because it's much more difficult for a corruptor to get an athlete to throw a game or shave points. It's much easier to say, all you need to do is miss this free throw this one time, and you can get money. And I think that it's very important on these things to have balance, and that's what I think Representative Heifel's done an excellent job of trying to give a sense of, and the same with Wes Ehrke, that we can't overreact to the problems that may come up because these are activities that are already going on, the sports betting. But at the same time, we can't be naive or put our heads in the sand or be unduly optimistic about the problems that are going to develop. And I would like to say that the Racing Gaming Commission, we are very lucky to have a gaming commission that has the level of integrity and respect around the country that we do. And I have confidence in them, but it is going to be very different because it is not the same as regulating casino games.
Anyone want to jump in before we go to our callers?
Sure, I'll add something really quick.
Okay, this is Representative Heifel.
Yep. Back to the NCAA comment, I think the NCAA is in the world's biggest pickle right now. The dirty little secret is that they and all the other leagues have been making money off sports wagering for a very, very long time now. And before, about 2 months ago, they threatened to pull out of any league that or any tournament that had sports wagering. Well, last week they said, well, we're just bluffing. We're not going to do that now. The basketball tournament for the Pac-10 was in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Big Ten tournament for basketball was in New York City. I don't know if you guys know this or not. We don't have a whole lot of Big Ten teams in New York City. We don't have in the Pac-10. All they have is the writers out there in Vegas. So my point is that the dirty little secret is now that it's happening in their hypocrisy and the NCAA and their shield of making, you know, money off the backs of their athletes. It's kind of exposed now. And so if they want a piece of that and want to come to the table, they need to come and say, we know what's happening. We admit what's happening, in my opinion.
A few more minutes left talking about the future of sports betting in Iowa. 1-866-780-9100. Let's get a call or two. Kevin is with us in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Kevin. What's on your mind in this context?
Well, my concern is the fact that the gentleman is proposing that we run all this money and gaming through the 19 existing casinos, being in Cedar Rapids, and we've lost two casinos up here based on what Keela said, where we're 30 to 35% of his market. I don't know if Cedar Rapids is, or Linn County is real happy about handing Riverside, Iowa another couple hundred thousand dollars. I mean, you know, my gosh, Amazon can tell me this afternoon on a package that I ordered this morning. So as far as being a portable bettor, and I will never bet, you know, you can easily track where the bets are originated from, and you can funnel some of that money back through where the counties are actually betting from. You know, my gut feeling is he has a casino in his district, and he's looking at some county making a couple hundred thousand dollars extra, even though everybody says 5%. You know, there's a great quote by Everett Dirksen, you know, a million here, a million there. Eventually, we're talking real money.
Kevin, we're running out of time. We want to have the representative Heifel respond to your comment. Representative?
Yeah, sure. I don't have a district in my casino in my district. Start by saying there, I believe there's 18 House legislators from Polk County, and I represent the northwest side. It's just Johnston and Grimes and a little bit of Urbandale in the Iowa House. Second of all, the voters, I believe, have voted down the casino in Linn County twice, and then they passed it the third time. I believe that's what it was. Maybe it was one time. I don't really remember that one exactly. But we have a and I believe Mr. Dan Keel tried to go there first. And so my point would be that we have a system in play. If you don't like the system we have in play to get casinos, then we can look at changing the law. But I don't think this is the direct route to take to change the law. If you want to propose, you can feel free to email me. I'd be happy to look at something changing how we do our casinos in Iowa. But I don't think this is the right vessel.
Let's go to Travis in Coralville. Travis, hi. Welcome to the program. You've got a couple minutes left. What's on your mind?
Yeah, sure. I just wanted to respond to, I think it was one of the panelists said that most of the sports gamblers would probably be existing gamblers. But just anecdotally for myself, I don't sports bet right now. But I think if it were to become legal, I likely would occasionally. I've just never, you know, wanted to seek out a bookie or anything like that. So I suppose the fact that it's been technically illegal has stopped me, but once it's legalized in Iowa, I likely will occasionally do some sports betting. So I just want to kind of get that perspective in there.
I'm sure you're not alone. Travis in Coralville, thank you very much. Mike Halas, but before we go, how does this change the equation possibly for the player, especially with this in-game betting? What are your thoughts on that? Does the player have time to include that in his or her thoughts when he or she's up to bat or back running out for a pass? Mike Loss?
What it is when you bet on a game, games typically last 2.5-3 hours. Okay. But this in-game betting, you're talking about seconds and a constant flow of new bets. And winners can double down maybe, yeah, sure. And losers can chase and then chase some more. So that's something that's, I mean, it's like sitting in front of a slot machine almost in that regard. How this all changes things, big picture, I don't know. I don't know. It's been said here earlier that sports betting is just a sliver of what the casino industry takes in Nevada. And if you go into a major casino or even a smaller casino in Nevada, you'll see that the sports book itself is just a small part of the operation, and quite often it's not a very busy part. When it is busier for big events, big games, Super Bowls, NCAA tournaments, those are, you know, then the sports book becomes a hub of activity. But if you were to walk in there right at this very moment right now, it'd be a pretty quiet place, and I suspect that that's
that would be the case in casinos. But with this in-game betting, there are games going on constantly, and this could be around the world with soccer and other sports. And you could, I mean, theoretically have somebody on their phone or in front of their laptop betting around the clock.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there. Mike Loss, sports columnist with the Gazette, Representative Jake Heifel, Wes Ericke of the Iowa Gaming Association, and Keith Miller of Drake University. Thank you all for joining us this hour. River to River is produced by Lindsay Moon, Emily Woodbury, and Ben Stanton. Help also today from Natalia Reyes. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.